And turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's in the New Testament. And if you do not have a handout, our ushers are coming down the aisle. They'll be glad to give you one if we missed you on the way in. And the page number for the handout, is, for the page number for the Pew Bible there in front of you, is actually on the top of the handout. And so we want to help you out there. If you don't have a Bible, you feel free to use the Bible there in front of you. All right, everybody got one? You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that there's something going on in Daytona today, some kind of a race or something. Have y'all heard anything about it? The Daytona 500. It's that Sunday, the Daytona 500. A lot of people are going to be watching this race. Can't wait to see the outcome. Can't wait to see who the winner is going to be. And how many of you are big NASCAR fans? Raise your hand. I'm just curious. Four people. All right. We don't live in Daytona for the races, do we? For the weather, maybe, but not the races. But a little bit more on that, William. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan. I followed it there for a few years when Clint was kind of into it, my oldest son, and he kind of got away from it. So I'm, you know, it's okay. I like it. And it's fun, but I'm not into it, you know, like a lot of people are. You know, I am going to go ahead and go out on a limb, though, and I'm going to make a bold prediction about the race today. You ready for this, huh? You ready? I predict whoever comes in first is going to win the race today. Bold prediction, Brother Rob, huh? You like that? Well, seriously, this may shock some of you, but did you know there's an even bigger race going on today than what's going on out there? And it's a race that does not involve cars. It's a race that involves believers, Christians, people who know the Lord. The Apostle Paul spoke of it here in our text. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll show you. Look at verse 24, where he talks about this race that we're in. He says in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." If we belong to Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches we're in a race. Now, there's no doubt who we're racing against. The Bible clearly tells us our adversary is the devil, and we know he's our foe. He's the one we're racing against. Now, the question is, in this race that we're in against Satan, what's his goal? What is he trying to accomplish? Well, I want you to get a statement at the top of your handout where it says there, Satan wants to diminish and nullify our impact upon other people who need Christ as their Savior. Satan wants to, he does not want you influencing other people for Christ. He wants to kind of take you out of the race. He wants to put you on the sidelines. Now, today, out at the racetrack, I am sure that there's going to be some wrecks out there in the race. You know, and I don't know, NASCAR fans love that. They hope, oh, I hope there's going to be some wrecks, you know. But, you know, people like that. But I'm sure there's going to be, and maybe one car takes out another car out of the race, and then that car is sidelined or in the pits, and now that car no longer is going to be an influence in that race. Now, that is exactly what Satan wants to do to you and I. One day, all of us are going to stand before the Lord. Look, we're all going to die one day. And when we die, we're going to stand before the Lord. Now, Satan does not want us to stand in victory when we stand before the Lord one day. I got a picture here. I guess this is, who'd you say it is? Jamie McMurray. And he's in victory lane, and you see he's hanging out his car, and he's got his hands up in the air, and man, he's got the victory, man. Well, you know, one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And when we stand before the Lord, Satan does not want us to be able to have victory that day. He wants us to stand empty-handed before the Lord, our Savior. He doesn't want us to have any souls, any other people that we've impacted. He doesn't want any other people that we've influenced for Christ to be in heaven with us. And he doesn't, look folks, when I stand before the Lord one day, I don't know about you, but man, I want to be able to rejoice in people I've impacted, and I want to be able to shout the victory that day. How about you, huh? Man, I want some victory that day. I want to know, man, I've run the race. I run the race, and I ran it well, and man, I got some victory here as I'm standing before the Lord. But you know what? As I bring up the next picture, here's a car. It's out of the race. Here's a car that's been wrecked. And this to me is a great pictorial image of what Satan wants to do to your life. Satan wants to make a wreck of your life. Satan wants to make a wreck of teenagers' lives. Satan wants to make a wreck out of young people's lives. Satan wants to make a wreck out of college age students' lives. He wants to make a wreck out of our life. Why? So that we really are a non-factor in the race. We are not an influence in the race. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, when He rose from the dead, man, Satan was openly disgraced. He was openly humiliated. And now Satan is furious, and Satan wants to disgrace us as children of Christ, as the body of Christ. He wants to disgrace us. He wants to beat us in this race. He wants our life to be like that picture, and he wants to make us a non-factor, make our Christian life just a wreck. But man, I'm glad to be able to tell you that every single believer in Jesus Christ, we can win the race, friend. We can win it. How can we impact people for Christ? How can our life make a difference so that we can win the race? Well, I want to give you three principles from the Bible, right from this text, about running the race. How are you going to run the race? Well, number one, you're going to run the race well, and you're going to make an impact. How? By maintaining a servant's heart. That's the first principle. By maintaining a servant's heart. Go with me over to verse 19. Verse 19. And let's read a few verses here. And let's get the context here about this race. Paul said in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself," I made myself what? "Servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, Gentiles, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You say, what does he mean by that? Well, I kind of summarized those verses in your handout. I want you to look at it. If I could summarize those statements, here's what it would be. Paul was willing to make himself a servant to others that he might have an opportunity to win them to Christ. Man, the Apostle Paul, he was eaten up with this. He was passionate about this. The Apostle Paul had been on the road to Damascus. He was out there trying to persecute and jail Christians. He was out there trying to squash Christianity. And he was the enemy of Jesus Christ. And he's on the road to Damascus. And Jesus Christ made a personal appearance to Paul from heaven. And he saved Paul on the road to Damascus out of sheer grace. Paul, once an enemy of God, has now been saved by the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Paul, he is passionate. Man, he just wants to magnify Christ in his body. And he said, man, when I'm with the Jews, he said, then you know what? I know I'm not under their dietary laws of the law. He said, but I'll gladly submit to that so as not to offend them, so that I can impact them for Christ. He said, man, when I'm with those that aren't under the Old Testament law, the Gentiles, they don't know anything about all that. I'm sure as a Jew, there were certain meats that Paul didn't care for personally because he'd never eaten them. It was against his upbringing. But yet he said, man, when I'm with the Gentiles, I'll just eat whatever they give me. Why? Because I don't want to offend them. I want to be able to have an open door to share my Savior, the one who saved me from my sin, Jesus Christ, with them. He said, to the weak become I as weak. And in context, he's talking about people with a weak conscience, people that got a lot of hang-ups And they got hang-ups about things that aren't even in the Bible. Paul said, but when I'm with them, I'm going to honor that because I don't want to offend them. I don't want to defile their conscience. And so Paul said, man, I just make myself a servant to everybody. Now, why would Paul lay aside his personal rights, and why would he have such a servant's heart? Why would he do that? Look at verse 19, and here's the key. He said, for though I be free from all men, don't have to do this, yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might what? Gain the more. In other words, win them to Christ. Gain them and win them to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23. He said, and this I do for the gospel's sake. Man, I'm doing this for the gospel. I'm doing this for Jesus, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul said, I want to make an impact on people. And I want to make a difference with the gospel of Christ. I want to win the race. So, you know, Paul said, that's why I make myself a servant. Now, understand, Paul wasn't saying that he would compromise the Bible in order to try to win somebody to Christ. He wasn't saying that he's going to compromise clear-cut commands in the Bible in order to try to win somebody to Christ. But he said, you know what? I will lay aside my privileges. I'll lay aside my rights. I'll lay aside my preferences for other people. Why? He said, because I want to have a servant's heart so that I can gain them, win them to Christ. Man, I think, what a refreshing attitude that is. You know, my generation, they call it the me first generation. You know, it's all about me. I mean, you watch football, and to me, that's a perfect example of the me first generation. I mean, some guy getting paid $10 million a year, he goes and makes a tackle, and then he runs away from all of his teammates and goes, it's like, buddy, you're getting paid $10 million a year to do that. You better do that. You better make the tackle. Big whoop, you know. Me beating himself on the chest, man, I'm the man, you know. It's like, well, now do something that'll impress us, right? I mean, so you made a tackle, you know. And that's, to me, so symbolic, though, of the generation we live in. It's all about me, man. It's all about me. Paul said, no. Paul said, you know, I'm in a race. And he said, I'm not going to have this attitude, it's all about me. He said, man, I'm going to have the attitude, it's all about others. I want to serve others so that I can have an opportunity to be an impact in their life for Jesus Christ. Now, when we serve others, and you've heard me say this, you know, you serve the Lord by serving others. But yet, when I serve others, you know, I'm not doing that as unto Rob Hall. If I serve Rob, I'm not doing it as unto Rob Hall. Look at the verse on the screen. It says here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now notice this, with goodwill doing service. So we're supposed to have a servant's heart. We serve others. But notice, if I serve Rob, I'm to be doing it not as to Rob Hall. I'm serving him how? As to the Lord and not to men. And then look at the next verse. Knowing. Paul said, knowing, there's going to be an end here to the race one day. And he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of who? The Lord, whether he be bond or free. Man, I thank God for people at crossroads. We got a lot of folks here with servants' hearts, don't we, Pastor Rich? We got people here, man, with just big old servants' hearts. They're like Paul. Man, I just want to make myself a servant to people that I can have an impact for Jesus Christ. We got a lot of great people like that at our church. You know, I was thinking about this. There's a lot of things that go on that you don't even know anything about, most people. But I thought, you know, I was thinking about Friday night and Saturday morning. We had men up here at this church, and they were helping out Awana kids that don't have any way to be able to make their little Grand Prix cars that they have a little race once a year, and they just get a block of wood and they have to carve it into a car and all that. And we had men up here with tools, because a lot of these kids, they come and their parents don't come to church. Their parents drop them off, and that's fine, but their parents drop them off, and these kids come on their own. Some of these kids don't even have a dad. And we had men up here giving up a Friday night and a Saturday, beautiful day yesterday. They're giving that time up in order to go in there and help these kids that aren't even their own kids be able to build a car. You say, man, why in the world would guys give up a Friday night when they could be doing something they want to do? Why would they give up a whole Saturday morning when they could have gone to the beach or done something fun? Why would they do that? And here's the reason. They make themselves a servant. Why? Because the hope is a lot of these children that would have never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ, but you know what? Because of some men that have had an influence, an impact in their life, they come to Jesus Christ. These children come to Jesus. They put their faith in Him because of the influence and impact of these men giving of themselves. Paul said, I make myself a servant to all, that I might gain the more. He said, man, I'm in a race, and it's not about me. It's about me being a servant to others. Praise the Lord for that. What are you doing to serve? What are you doing to serve others? Do you have a servant's heart? The second thing that I see here in the text, how do I win this race? How do I win the race? How does my life have impact in the race? Well, number two is by looking to the crown. If you look down here, well, before we read this, the Greeks, when Paul wrote this, the Greeks, they had games they played similar to our Olympics. And so Paul's going to use an illustration to these Christians. And the athletes in those days would do what an athlete would do today. They would discipline themselves, keep a set diet, lay aside some of the things that they would enjoy, but they would lay them aside and they would make sacrifices, these athletes. Now, why would these athletes keep a rigid diet, deny themselves certain privileges, deny themselves certain rights? Why would they do that? Well, look with me at verse number 25. Verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know why an athlete does that and denies himself some of those things? He does it to win a crown. Now back then, they would win a crown, and typically the crown in those days in the Greek games would be a crown made out of olive leaves. And so they would deny themselves certain things, they'd keep a rigid diet, they would train and all this in order to win a crown of olive leaves that's going to fade away. It's eventually going to deteriorate. It's going to be corruptible. It's going to fade away. You know, and when I thought about that, my mind went, Denise, to our attic. Isn't it amazing the things in your attic? I got a couple boxes in the attic of old trophies that I won when I was a kid and teenager. And I trained, and man, I worked hard because I wanted to get me one of those trophies. And now here I am, 44 years old, and I got them trophies up in a box. They got dust all over them. They got nicks. They got scratches. They got dents in them. Some of those trophies are missing heads, missing feet, missing arms and hands. The plaque with my name on it fell off long ago, the little plaque on the front. And so now that's missing, that's gone, you know. And they got cracks in them. And why? That stuff's, you know, corruptible. That those kind of things are going to fade away. Now, Denise, she'd rather they just go away. She's like, get rid of them. That's her standard answer for everything. Get rid of it. She is not a, what do you call it, a pack rat. I'm more of a pack rat. You know, when she's going through the closet and going through the attic and tossing things, I go back out to the garbage can and I sneak it out and I bring it back in. We have discussions about that. Let's just leave it there. But we have discussions about that. And she's like, what's that doing back in the house? Honey, I couldn't let you throw that away. But have you all noticed stuff gets old, doesn't it? It fades away. But I want you to notice verse 25. It says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Notice though, we're running in a race, and notice what kind of crown are we going to get? Incorruptible. So we've got something far better. We have the opportunity as a Christian to win an incorruptible crown. You say, well, what is that? Well, in context, in your handout, it says there that the prize or the crown in heaven, the prize or the crown in heaven will be people that we have impacted for Christ. It's the people you've made a difference in their life. You have influenced them for Christ. Let me show you a verse. Go to the bottom of your handout there. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. Paul is writing to people that he had impacted, people he had led to Christ, people he had influenced. And notice what he writes here. For what is our hope or joy? Now look at this. Or what? Crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul said, you know what my crown of rejoicing is going to be in heaven? You. He said, you're the people I've impacted for Christ. You're going to be my crown of rejoicing when I get to heaven. You know, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Pastor Rob, come up here a minute. Will, can you come up here for a minute? I mean, Will here, how old are you, Will? 17? You're still in the youth group, right? What grade are you in? You're senior. Pastor Rob, if he leads Will to Christ, Will gets saved, okay? He's in the youth group. Rob gives of himself, makes himself a servant to Will. He's available to Will. He mentors Will. And he really influences Will's life for Christ. And I know he's done that, hasn't he? He's influenced your life for Jesus Christ. He's made a difference in your life. Am I right? Amen. All right. Now, you die. You're in heaven. Don't worry. All right. He dies. He's in heaven. Okay? Now, when that day comes, when judgment day comes, and you stand before the Lord, man, can you imagine the thrill of victory when you see Will up there grinning from ear to ear, and Will is in heaven because of your influence, and Will grew in the Lord, and Will is receiving rewards because of your influence? Folks, do you understand that on that day, Will be his crown of rejoicing in heaven? Now, when the idea is when you get saved and you trust the Lord to save you, you come into the family of God and you're a Christian. You trust Jesus Christ, what He did for you on the cross, and you come into the family of God. But the idea is when Rob gets saved and he puts his faith in Christ and he trusts Christ, the idea is that now he's got maybe, say, 50, 60, 70 years left on the earth. The idea is during that time that he knows the Lord is his Savior, that he influenced somebody else for Jesus Christ. That he takes somebody with him to heaven. So if Will's one of those people, Will's going to be his crown of rejoicing, Paul said, when he gets to heaven. Does that make sense? Amen? That's what it's all about. Thanks, guys. Now, are we going to get a literal crown of some sort from the Lord? Well, it's very possible that you might, because look at the verse on the screen. Okay, let's bring it up. Are you going to get some kind of literal incorruptible crown? Well, Paul said at the end of his life, he said, man, I'm ready to die. And he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me. He's talking about in heaven. There is laid up for me in heaven. What did he say is laid up there? A what? Crown of righteousness. Now, notice this. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This appears very literal to me. There's a crown, and he says it's literal to the point where he says the Lord himself is going to hand it to me. I mean, when we stand before the Lord, I don't know about you, friend, but I want that crown. Now, you can try to be humble and say, I don't want no crown. But I want a crown. You say, well, why? Because of what it represents. Not just to have a crown. I mean, you know, I mean, if it's gold or whatever, that doesn't make any difference. Money doesn't mean anything up there. Look, folks, this gold stuff people fight over down here, man, they line the streets. They pave the streets with it up there, you know. So it's not the monetary value or anything. No, I want a crown because of what it represents. When you receive a crown from the Lord Himself, that represents that, you know what? When you were down there on earth for those 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, man, you put some time into your Christian life. You grew spiritually. You grew your inner man. You had an impact down there for Christ during those 50 years. Or, you know, during that 50, 60, 70, 80 years, you know, 90, 100. Told the early service how your grandma's 97. 97, her grandma, my wife's grandma. Of course, that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I'm not in that bloodline. That means she'll probably live there and I'll die way before her, you know. But you know, however long you've got, you know what? That crown says you were faithful to the Lord during that time. And you had an impact. You made a difference. The incorruptible crown. And by the way, isn't it neat that it says that the Lord is going to give it to me? You know, when you're up in heaven, it's not that the Lord's up there in a hurry. He's like, oh, Rob Hall, yeah, he gets a crown. Here, angel, go give it to him. And the angel runs over, gives him one, and runs back. No, he says, the Lord Himself's going to give it to me. Whew. Wow. And that crown, you know what that crown says? The crown says, job well done. You didn't live your life down there on earth just for yourself. But you served others. You impacted other people for Jesus Christ. In your handout, it says some people are saved. They know the Lord. But they're going to stand in heaven before Christ empty-handed, having brought nobody else with them to heaven. They live for themselves. They did nothing to serve others. They were maybe selfish, self-centered. And it was all about them. They're not going to give time to serve. They're not going to give time to impact people for Christ. What are you doing to serve others and make an impact with your life? Can I let you in on something that really needs to be said often, especially in America? Let me let you in on a little secret. Life is not about acquiring all the money and possessions that you can and then dying and then leaving it all behind for people to fight over. Life has so much more meaning than that. Your life is not about building up your bank account and then just leaving it behind for your relatives to just fight over. Your life has more meaning than that. We are to live our Christian life unto Him with eternity in view, my friend. With eternity in view. Looking to the crown. Run the race. Have an impact for Christ by looking to the crown. And then the last thing is this. We can run the race and we can have an impact by glorifying God in your body. He says there, can you all go down with me to verse 27? Let's all look at it. Verse 27. Look how he ends the chapter. He's talking about the race now. He says, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In your handout, it says that the phrase keep under, when he says I keep under my body, that simply means to subdue one's passions. To subdue one's passions. I mean, listen, if someone's training for the Olympics here in America, if they're training for an Olympic race, and you come up to them and you say, hey man, I'm just curious, I know you're training for the Olympics, tell me, what kind of diet does it consist of as you train for the Olympics? And the guy says to you, well, as I'm training to run the race for the Olympics, my diet, he said, I always try to get a dozen Dunkin' Donuts every day. And eat those. I always try to eat at least a dozen donuts. And I always make sure I get plenty of M&Ms. And I make sure that I drink plenty of soda pop every day. And I try to make frequent visits to Popeye's Fried Chicken and McDonald's to get Big Macs. Now, could he do that? Yes or no? It's a free country. Sure he could. But does he do that? Not if he's got any sense. Why? Why doesn't he do it? He's in a race. There are choices that you make in life based on the race you're in. That's what Paul means when he says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Paul's saying, hey, I give up rights that I could claim. I willingly deprive myself of things that I could legitimately have. They take a back seat. Why? So that I can impact other people for my Savior, Jesus Christ. So that I can take some folks with me up to heaven. Paul says, my fleshly desires, my fleshly feelings are not the issue. They don't call the shots. Paul said, man, why? I don't want to be a castaway. Now, when he says, I don't want to be a castaway, that doesn't mean that he's going to lose his salvation. To be a castaway, it simply means I don't want to be worthless. I don't want to become worthless and a non-factor in the race. I want to be a factor in the race. It's like a car here. We bring up a picture here. And here's a car that had hopes of, I'm sure, of being an impact in the race. But the car ended up obviously wrecked. And now it's back here behind the pits. And it's kind of a castaway. Paul said, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a castaway in the race. I don't want to become a non-factor in the race. Paul said, I bring into subjection my fleshly desires so that I can better impact people for Christ because I don't want to run the race in vain. In your handout, Paul said he wanted to be a fruitful and an impact player on God's team. Paul said, I want to be fruitful. I want to be an impact player. I want to be serious about this Christian life thing. Paul said, I want to glorify God in my body. Because if the message of Jesus Christ is rejected by other people, I don't want it to be because of my inappropriate or selfish actions. If people are going to reject the message, may it not be because of my selfishness. If people are going to reject the message of Christ, may it not be because of my inappropriate actions. Paul said, I keep under my body. The key to impacting people for Christ is when our words are backed up by our actions. Amen. How does it go over, parents? When you tell your kids, don't do as I do as I say. Does that go over good? Not real good. People hear of Christ from our lips, but you know what? They need to see Christ in our actions too. They need to see Him. There's two key questions on your handout that I want to ask you as we conclude the message. Number one, are you in this spiritual race? In other words, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in Him, you're not even in the race yet. You're still in Satan's family. You're on his team. You're not even in this race Paul's talking about. So if you've never trusted the Lord, you need to do that today and get in the race. But if you're in the race, if you're saved and you know the Lord, are you impacting? How are you doing in the race? Are you impacting other people for Christ? Hey, listen. Did you know there are things that you cannot do in heaven? Now, right away, I know you're thinking of something. What, Naomi, what's something you can't do in heaven? Somebody said sin, and I said that on purpose because I knew that's the first thing that comes to our mind. You can't sin in heaven. Did you know there are good things that you can't do in heaven? Say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? There are good things we can't do in heaven? That's right. Did you know you can't lead anybody to Jesus Christ in heaven? Everybody up there, everyone knows Him. Did you know you can't impact anybody for Christ in heaven? Christ is, He's there, He's visible in heaven. You cannot impact anybody for Christ in heaven. Did you know that you cannot pray for a lost soul in heaven? Did you know that you cannot give money to a missionary that's trying to get the gospel out in some country? You can't give money to a missionary in heaven. There are things that you cannot do in heaven. Why? Because it says in your handout, once we die, our race is what? It's over. There's no more you can do. Therefore, we need to run the race with urgency right now. Right now, we need to be like Paul. And we need to run the race and have an impact on people. Serve others. Look to the crown. keep under our body and bring it into subjection. Why? That we can run the race and have an impact on other people for Christ. Let's run the race. Let's go to the Lord in prayer with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's all just think about our life. And I want you to, first of all, are you in the race? If you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Do you know that you have been saved from your sins, that you're in a right relationship with God? You're not in the race until that gets settled. Once you get that settled, then you're in the race. So, if you're not saved and you don't know the Lord today, we've got folks with a Bible that would love to show you how to be saved. We had a gentleman came forward in the 9:30 service. We had one of our dear men take him back and show him from the Bible how he could know that he was saved and on his way to heaven. How he could know that he had life. And if that's you today and you'd like for someone to show you, we have men work with men, ladies with ladies. They'll take you back privately, show you how you can know that you're going to go to heaven. Know that you have life, eternal life. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you know the Lord, you're a believer, how are you doing with this thing of becoming a servant to others? How are you doing with this thing of looking to the crown, looking to eternity, not just what's going to make me feel good now? Glorifying God in your body. Did the message speak to your heart in some way today? If so, you make that decision God would have you to make. Father, thank you for your word. Do a mighty work now in our hearts and lives. May we receive the word with readiness of heart and mind. May we take the word of God and apply it to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.